A Joyful Faith. Recently, we've been considering what Jesus and his apostles said about faith. Today, we want to explore the relationship between faith and joy. Faith and joy are inseparable partners. Faith always leads to joy if that faith is put in the right place, the right person. And the greater the faith, the greater the joy. Faith and joy complement each other. Faith produces joy, and joy strengthens faith. Joy helps us be faithful. Faith helps us be joyful. Faith and joy go hand in hand. Let's look at some scriptures that help us see this. Last week, we were looking at that verse from James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. These trials mentioned here are trials of our faith, trials designed for building our faith. And James says, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance leads to maturity and a faith that can rejoice in any and every circumstance. And because this is so, we have every reason to be joyful, full of joy. Let's look at another verse. And it's helpful if I read the context. Paul is writing to his beloved friends in Philippi, who were the church he established during his second missionary journey. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is writing this from prison, where he could very well be executed for proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. And he wonders which would be better, to live longer or to go and be with the Lord. So he says in verse 22, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Now here's what I want to focus on. Verse 25, Paul says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Joy in the faith. Verse 26, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Joy in Christ Jesus, joy in the faith. Paul says, there's joy in the faith. And here's a man who suffered terribly in his service to the gospel, yet he has joy in the faith. He gives us a list of some of his hardships in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 24. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. Verse 27, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And that's just a partial list. He says more. But that's enough to make the point. In spite of his sufferings for the faith, he can say that there is joy in the faith, a superabundant joy that so far outweighs our sufferings, so far outweighs them, that Paul wrote elsewhere in Romans 8:18, Paul could say, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Not worth comparing. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with our future joy. And in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says this, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Light and momentary troubles, by comparison, for an eternal glory far outweighs them all. Light and momentary, because they are achieving an eternal glory. An eternal glory, that's a joyful thing. Eternal glory with fullness of joy. There is joy in the faith. Some of that joy we enjoy now, but there is so much more to come. And that joy is often best manifested, surprisingly manifested, in the midst of sorrow, as this poem by T.D. Crudson tells us. This poem makes mention of two places, Eshcol, a place known for its abundance of grapes, and Elim, which was an oasis in the desert. "I have found a joy in sorrow, a secret balm for pain, a beautiful tomorrow of sunshine after rain. I found a branch of healing near every bitter spring, a whispered promise stealing o'er every broken string. I found a glad hosanna for every woe and wail, a handful of sweet manna when the grapes of Eshcol fail. I found a rock of ages when desert wells are dry, and after weary stages, I found an Elim nigh, an Elim with its coolness, its fountains, and its shade, a blessing in its fullness when buds of promise fade. 'Tis Jesus, my portion forever. 'Tis Jesus, my first and last. A help very present in trouble, a shelter from every blast." And here's another poem from her. "Oh, for the peace that floweth as a river, making life's desert places bloom and smile. Oh, for the faith to grasp heaven's bright forever amidst the shadows of earth's little while. A little while for patient vigil keeping, to face the storm and wrestle with the strong. A little while to sow the seed with weeping, then bind the sheaves and sing the harvest song. A little while, the earthen pitcher taking. To wayside brooks from far off mountains fed, when the parched lip its thirst forever slaking beside the fullness of the fountainhead. A little while to keep the oil from failing, a little while faith's flickering lamp to trim, and then the bridegroom's coming footsteps hailing, will haste to meet him with the bridal hymn." Now there's something else very special about our joy in the faith. When we walk in joyful faith, we're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Now listen to this. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him." There was joy set before Jesus that enabled him to endure even the cross. There was joy set before Jesus, and there is that same joy set before us. For just as we share in the faith of Jesus, so we share in the joy of Jesus. And one day, we shall share in the inheritance of Jesus. But in the meantime, sorrows and hardships should not surprise us or catch us off guard. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Anytime we suffer testing for the purifying of our faith, we are participating in the sufferings of Christ, because it's all for his glory and his great purposes. And right there, Peter says, we shouldn't be surprised. That's put negatively. Put positively, we should expect fiery trials to test our faith. I know that since God is our Father, we're tempted to think he will spare us hardships. He didn't spare his own son the awful cross, and he won't spare us. But he will make it all work out for our good and for the good of others we care about. And he will draw near to us in our trouble. And the deeper our sorrow, the closer he draws. As it says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The more unloved we feel, the more room we have to be filled with his love. The more we sense his love. The more troubled our hearts, the more peace he sends to us. The greater our fears, the more present is his calm. And the more empty we feel ourselves to be, the more he fills us. He fills all our empty places. And Jesus is, and always will be, our shelter in the time of storm.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may around me beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.